Hello and welcome to the Global Venturing Review podcast, covering the biggest venture stories from the past week across CVC and global venturing. For those of you listening from the US, we hope you had a great Thanksgiving celebration last week and have at least partially recovered from the food coma. My name is Fernando Moncada, senior reporter, and we will be taking a look through some of the more notable funding rounds, M&As, and fundraisers of the past week. Let's start off in Indonesia, where Indonesia-headquartered logistics provider J&T Express has received $2.5 billion in funding from investors including internet and gaming group Tencent at a valuation of $20 billion as the company gets set for an initial public offering in Hong Kong in early 2022. Boyu Capital, Hillhouse Capital, and Sequoia Capital China also contributed to the round, while SIG China, a subsidiary of quantitative trading firm Susquehanna International Group, is also understood to have taken part. J&T operates an express delivery and warehousing business focused on the e-commerce space, which has boomed in Indonesia with the entry of domestic online platforms such as Tokopedia, Bukalapak, and Sosiolia in recent years. The company is active in several Southeast Asian countries as well as in China, and is planning an expansion there and in Latin America. On the other side of the world, US-based e-commerce fulfillment service Deliver, which provides logistics and fulfillment services for online merchants such as Amazon, Walmart, eBay, and Target, secured $250 million in a Series E round featuring logistics, real estate, and investment management firm GLP at a $2 billion valuation. The round was led by Tiger Global Management and also backed by fellow investment firm Activent, venture capital firm 8VC, investment manager Coatue Management, and Brookfield Technology Partners. The company plans to use the capital to accelerate the development of its commercial operations and expand its next-day fulfillment service to e-commerce merchants of all sizes across the U.S. Both these companies show how upward trends in e-commerce, including and especially international e-commerce, is having a knock-on effect on domestic and cross-border logistics. And while the former grows, so must the latter find new and improved ways to get products from buyer to seller as efficiently as possible. Impossible Foods, the U.S.-based vegetarian meat product manufacturer backed by internet and technology conglomerate Alphabet, closed its latest funding round at $500 million. The round is led by Mirae Asset Global Investments, the asset management arm of financial services group Mirae Asset Financial, and also featured unnamed existing investors, bringing the company's total funding to nearly $2 billion. Impossible produces plant-based alternatives to meat products such as burgers, nuggets, sausages, pork, and meatballs. It plans to use the proceeds from the round to grow its supply chain, boost its international expansion plans, and technology development. Elsewhere, US-based influencer marketing platform TLK secured $300 million in funding from telecommunications and internet group SoftBank's Vision Fund 2 at a $2 billion valuation. Previously known as RewardStyle and Like2Know, LTK has developed an e-commerce platform which allows online influencers and content creators to recommend and sell items such as clothes and home furnishings on behalf of retailers. The funding will be put towards accelerating the growth of its platform with new products, scale its international presence, and hire new talent across its entire organization. On to tech. IONITY, the Germany-headquartered electric vehicle charging network set up by a range of automotive manufacturers including BMW, Ford, Mercedes-Benz, Volkswagen, Audi, Porsche, Hyundai Motor Group, and its subsidiary Kia, raised 700 million euros or $786 million from existing backers in addition to investment management firm BlackRock, which itself took part through its global renewable power platform. IONITY oversees a range of EV charging stations spanning highways in 24 countries and will use the proceeds to quadruple the number of charging stations on its network to around 7,000 by 2025. As it looks to expand its presence to trunk roads and urban locations. In other clean energy financing news, this time one that intersects with cryptocurrency, conglomerate Hanwha Group led a $150 million funding round for US-based renewables energy software developer Lancium through chemical production subsidiary Hanwha Solutions. Financial services firm SBI and NovaWolf filled out the participants in the round together with undisclosed existing investors. Lancium is an interesting one. It provides, on one hand, software that regulates the flow of intermittent renewable energy into and around the power grid, and it also builds data center facilities, which it calls clean campuses, which will function in part to mine Bitcoin using renewable energy. One of the most talked about downsides, not just of Bitcoin, but of cryptocurrency as a whole, despite its growing popularity, is its energy-intensive nature. Indeed, you hear a lot about how Bitcoin mining around the world requires as much power as it would take to run a medium-sized country in some cases. So what we're seeing increasingly, and LAND seems a prime example of this, is activity at the intersection of renewable energy and Bitcoin mining. It's something that's picking up steam, especially in Nordic countries, for example, where you have quite favorable conditions for data centers generally because of the abundant baseload renewable energy, that is to say renewable energy that is not intermittent, such as hydropower, which is kind of steady throughout the day. And because of the climate, you also save on cooling costs, which for data centers is massive. Now, obviously, Texas, where Lancium is setting up some facilities, does not have as cool a climate as the Nordics, but it is one of the biggest renewable markets in the US, so it's a prime market for mining. And I think it's safe to say that we will see more and more of these co-located crypto mining and renewable energy sites around the country as time goes on. On the same topic, digital payment technology provider Mogo revealed that it was among the investors in a $400 million funding round recently disclosed by US-headquartered cryptocurrency trading and storage platform developer Gemini. The round was led by Morgan Creek Capital's Morgan Creek Digital subsidiary at a $7.1 billion valuation. It was backed by financial services firm Commonwealth Bank of Australia, 10T, Parify Capital, Newflow Partners, and Marcy Venture Partners. It represents the company's first external funding. Gemini operates a digital platform which enables users to buy, sell, and store currency and decentralized finance tokens, currently working with at least 60 cryptocurrencies. The fact that this was the company's first external financing is notable because these kind of mid-nine-figure funding rounds are what you'd normally expect later on in a startup's life, but investors are becoming more bullish, going in earlier with more money into crypto ventures. And it serves really as a further marker of how confident they are in the space and how going forward we're likely to see more money at earlier stages than we have in the past. And valuations are also likely to grow bigger at earlier stages. Crypto markets have also seen M&A activity over the past week. Cryptocurrency exchange Coinbase has acquired Switzerland-based cryptocurrency wallet developer BRD for an undisclosed sum, marking exits for corporates SBI Holdings, Ripple, OKWave, and Credit Saison. Formerly known as Bread Wallet, BRD launched a mobile wallet before developing a blockchain-based online platform with more than 10 million users that allows them to buy and sell cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, Ethereum, and other tokens. Elsewhere, going back to the e-commerce theme we've also been seeing, cross-border e-commerce services provider Global E agreed to acquire US-based cross-border e-commerce tools provider Flow Commerce for up to $500 million, marking an exit for corporates American Express and Lian Feng Group. Flow has developed an AI-equipped software that helps brands reach customers in external markets, factoring in localized payments, international shipping, and sales taxes. The deal is set to enable Global E to strengthen its ability to work across borders, of course, and in turn, boost its exclusive relationship with e-commerce marketplace Shopify. $425 million of the acquisition price will be made available by way of a base payment, and another $75 million will be contingent on certain financial milestones being reached in 2021. We haven't seen as much IPO activity over the past week as we've seen over the rest of the month, but US-based neurodegenerative disease drug developer Vigil Neuroscience has filed for an initial public offering on the NASDAQ Global Market, setting a $100 million placeholder target for the offering and marking potential exit for pharmaceutical firm Amgen. The company uses microglia, which are the main active immune cells in the central nervous system, as the basis for drugs intended to target and treat neurodegenerative diseases. Proceeds from the IPO will go towards the development of the company's line of monoclonal antibodies to treat ALSP, a progressive disease that affects the brain and spinal cord. Cash will also be used to continue research on other novel small molecule programs linked to microglial dysfunction and for general working capital. Some new investment vehicles have also been announced around the world. Norway-headquartered telecommunications firm Telenor and Thailand-based conglomerate CP Group plan to merge their telecommunications subsidiaries in Thailand, called DTAC and True, respectively, in a deal worth approximately $8.6 billion, as they also plan to collaborate on a joint corporate venturing effort. They would look to raise between $100 and $200 million of venture capital funding to invest in digital technology startups based in Thailand. Finally, Compass, a Denmark-headquartered venture capital partnership managed by former corporate venturers Sebastian Peck and Talia Raffaelli, has formed a $160 million inaugural fund anchored by building materials manufacturer VKR Holding. The vehicle will target late C to Series A stage investments across Europe, Israel, and the United States, working on smart city, climate, enterprise software, and industrial automation technologies applied in the real estate, construction, and manufacturing sectors. The initial ticket size will be between $1 million and $5 million per deal. That about does it from me today. These have just been the main headlines, and you can catch our full coverage of the market at globalventuring.com, so go ahead and take a look. And if this was your first episode of the Global Venturing Review, don't forget to subscribe. Keep an eye out for next week's episode, which you can catch on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. I have been Fernando Moncada. Our sound engineer is Mark Chatterley from In Ear Production, whose work you can check out at inearproduction.com. And our intro music is by Kevin McLeod and a Creative Commons license. We'll be back next Monday with more news. Until then, have a great week.